I'm Neil Conan in Washington. We heard an extraordinary briefing punctuated by references to basketball games and family budgets, a briefing where the Secretary of Defense and the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff were repeatedly asked to defend a plan which some people think almost two weeks into the war in Iraq, did not provide enough forces, did not provide them fast enough, and did not provide enough coverage for lines of supply. With me here in the studio in Washington are retired Lieutenant General Thomas Rame, a military consultant to NPR, currently Vice President of the Association of the Army, who commanded the 1st Infantry Division during Desert Storm 12 years ago, and Donatella Lorch, National Correspondent for Newsweek magazine, who covered the Gulf War for the New York Times and has covered a lot of combat, not only in Washington, but around the world. And General Rame, let me begin with you. This extraordinary, as people said in that briefing, I've never seen General Myers that exercised, he was angry about the criticism that the plan has received.
He's a War College classmate of mine, and I've never seen him that energized. He was on his game today. I was really overjoyed to see the Secretary put the 4th Infantry on the table through Turkey, because this would be a different complex if the administration had been allowed to press Saddam all around with heavy divisions coming down. Now, that division will get there. It's unloading in the port right now, and it's on the way.
The 4th Infantry Division was supposed to be the northern front in Turkey. It has since gone around to the south and is
That's
now
correct.
Unloading in Kuwait and should be in action, some people say, within a couple of weeks. Donatella Lorch, and by the way, he did not name names, but the criticism, the most vociferous criticism from former generals has been from General McCaffrey, a retired general who commanded the 24th Mechanized
That's
Infantry
correct.
Division during the Desert Storm, and General Wesley Clark, one of those guys on CNN, who was,
correct.
Of course, the commander in Kosovo. And Donatella Lorch, you've been in the Pentagon briefing room amidst those questions. What is going on here? It sounded extraordinarily defensive.
Oh, I found them today to be, especially General Myers, very, very defensive. I think it was three times that the Secretary of Defense mentioned, it's time to be patient, it's time to be patient, and this war plan, he kept on talking about it, almost as the plan is this four-letter word that, you know, it was not, you know, they took it off, that they're all behind it. And they're basically telling everyone who doesn't have good news to stay away, because the only news out there is good news, and everything is on track, and everything is the way they expected it to be.
General Rame, they kept making references to this after the Gulf War. The division commander said, we didn't get enough air support. You were a division commander in the Gulf War. Did you get enough air support?
During the Gulf War, the greatest service the Air Force did for me is they took away Iraqi air, and I didn't have to worry about it. And we got the Republican Guard worked on just like they're being worked on now. Would we have liked more air? Always. But yes, we got plenty of air support.
Okay. Donatella, one of the things as this focus on the plan and whether it provided enough forces or not, one of the things that did not come up in terms of questions was the incident yesterday outside of Najaf, and it was addressed earlier today at the briefing in Doha at Central Command about where Iraqi civilians were gunned down as they failed to stop at a military checkpoint. You've been approaching a lot of military checkpoints. We can't read into the minds of either the troops that were there or the people that were driving that vehicle, but this is a scary thing always to drive up to a military checkpoint.
It's a very scary thing, both for the people who are manning the checkpoint, because I've been with soldiers who man checkpoints. I've driven up to checkpoints where there are American soldiers that almost shot us. You know, we've got to think of these young soldiers, they're 19, 20, 21 years old, they're exhausted, they've been working off of very little sleep, they've had friends who are killed, they see the war through these very thin slices of their units, where rumors are flying just as rampantly as they are among the Iraqis. Who knows what was going on with that carload of women and children, but they were, you know, I'm sure the soldiers were extremely nervous because of the stories of the suicide bomber, and it's very difficult to gauge what went on at that point. Both sides, you know, obviously there's been reports that they opened fire without enough warning.
General Rame, I know you've commanded those forces in
Correct.
The past, but I wanted to ask you a question about coverage. There's been a lot of criticism and a lot of appreciation of the embedded journalists. In this case, there was a journalist on the scene to describe what actually happened. And is that an advantage at this point?
It's my view that in the Gulf War with Desert Storm, we were denied any journalists with us in the left hook. I'm watching this today. I would be an advocate and a supporter of it because I think the American people are entitled to the news. I think they represent the Army very fairly. You're seeing magnificent young people out there doing the nation's business, and so far I would say their reporting has been more than objective.
Seeing young men and women under extraordinary stress
That's
and in
correct.
Difficult circumstances as well. Donatella, what about you? You've been an embedded journalist yourself in Afghanistan.
Yeah, I think that embedded journalists face a big, big challenge, and that's not to become so embedded that we lose a sense of objectivity. When you live, breathe, and eat with your unit in a way, you become part of the unit. You get to know the guys. They'll always be the ones that you don't like, and they'll be the ones that you get along with really well. And day after day, because you're deprived of sleep, you're working nonstop, you're moving nonstop, you start seeing the war through the eyes of the grunts that you're with. And it takes away from this ability of moving in and out, of being in your own car, doing your own thing, coming into a unit, going and covering another unit, having a wider perspective of the war. And I think that could affect your vision of what you're seeing. Mm.
That's all the time we have. I wanted to thank you both very much. We heard earlier a briefing from the Secretary of Defense, Donald Rumsfeld, and the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Richard Myers, who were speaking with reporters at the Pentagon. Here with me in Studio 3A, Donatella Lorch, a national correspondent for Newsweek magazine, covered the Gulf War for the New York Times, and also with us, retired Lieutenant General Thomas Rame, a military consultant to NPR, currently the Vice President of the Association of the U.S. Army, and who commanded the 1st Infantry Division during the First Gulf War, and I wanted to thank you both very much for joining us today. You've been listening to special coverage from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.